Welcome to the Parts Cast, your go-to podcast to hear thought leaders and experts in food service discuss the latest trends, technology, and products that are shaping restaurants, commercial kitchens, and other businesses in our industry. I'm your host, Matt Gentile, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about a major trend sweeping many commercial kitchens and facilities: water filters. Yes, water filters. They've been around for a long time, but new technology and heightened awareness around protecting kitchen equipment is making this a major focus in 2021 and beyond. Whether you're a restaurant, a convenience store, a school, or a hospital, clean water is essential. It keeps people safe, it improves taste, and it protects equipment from heavy scale buildup and damage. To learn more about the benefits of water filtration and the types of options on the market, we're joined by Courtney Scherenberg, Technical Training Manager at Pent Air and Everpure. Courtney, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of water filtration, tell us just a little bit about Pent Air and Everpure and also your role with them.
So Pent Air is the parent company. We're an all-encompassing water treatment company from soup to nuts. Anything from municipal water treatment to food service, like we're going to talk about today, to residential pools, aquatics, aquaponics, agriculture, you name it, we do it. All we do is water. Everpure is a brand that's been around for a really long time in the food service commercial space when it comes to filtration. Been around about 85, 90 years now. Pentair had purchased Everpure years ago, and Pentair is pretty much the parent company, but Everpure is a very well-known brand in the food service space. And then for myself, I'm actually the technical training manager, like you said. I've been with Pentair almost 8 years now, and I've been in food service some way, shape, or form, like 18, 19 years. I started in sales here at Pentair. I have a sales background, but also a service background as well. So I became a trainer about 4 years ago now, and doing a lot of customer training, service training, and working a lot with our marketing department, trying to develop all kinds of programs for our customers.
Well, it's one of the reasons why we're having you on, because you have a vast knowledge of water filtration. And just to throw a shameless plug out there, Courtney, you recently did a webinar for us here at Partstown just a couple of weeks ago, talking about filtration systems and how they serve as a proactive step for preventative maintenance. And for our listeners, if you didn't see it, check it out on our YouTube channel under the Webiversity webinars playlist, because Courtney provided a lot of awesome insight and tips. And I kind of want to expand on that here today, because I think most folks agree that preventative maintenance is necessary for protecting their kitchen equipment. For units that use water, maintenance can be really tricky, especially in those areas with very poor or hard water. Everyone wants to get the absolute most out of their unit and protect their investment. So how exactly do these new filters that are on the market, how do they protect equipment in commercial kitchens?
Well, the equipment side of things, and actually it really kind of, from a training perspective, I like to split it up into equipment protection and product quality. So on the equipment side of things, I'm sure everyone's familiar with scale buildup in their equipment. I've got scale, and now my heating elements aren't heating properly. I have probes and sensors that are failing. I have to call out a service agent to delime. There's all kinds of things that go on the scaling side of things. And then there's the corrosion side of things, which is actually something that people don't really think about a lot until it's too late. So corrosion is rust. The nice thing about scale is if it's there, we can usually remove it. There's certain types of scales that are really tough to remove, but ultimately, you've developed a rock in your equipment. We can remove that rock. Rust, on the other hand, once it's there, you're getting holes, you're getting pitting, cracks and weak spots. So you definitely have to throw the piece of equipment away and start over. That's a situation we get into where a lot of the manufacturers, they have warranties. And if you're not providing the right water quality to that piece of equipment, they can potentially void your warranty. And a lot of that comes down to replacement costs from things like corrosion. And then in the ice world, we have slime buildup that can happen, increased cleaning of the machine, things like that. But mainly those are the three big equipment problems that we have.
One of the worst things you can do is go down a rabbit hole on YouTube or Facebook, and some of those groups you see where they post the ice machine slime. It's always kind of, it's always nasty when you see that. And as somebody that loves coffee, I know that when I go to a place and I have bad tasting coffee, or I see like a place that has murky ice cubes, it makes me think twice about that place every time. And I think that's another, you know, step you have to think of in terms of your quality.
Definitely. So that's the product quality side of the equation, right? Anything in food service that uses water all uses water differently. But in the equipment that makes a product that we're consuming, well, that's a whole nother side of the coin, right? We want to make sure that we have water provided to that equipment that's going to give you clear ice, going to give a proper coffee extraction, you know, a nice thick crema on your espresso. All those things are water quality related. Tea, you know, cloudy tea is really common. Even just those iced tea dispensers, that's a water quality issue. Drinking water, you know, things that taste like chlorine. Your soda can be impacted by chlorination flavor profiles as well. So coffee, you mentioned specifically, that one gets really complicated. Because the interesting thing about coffee is we're trying to find a nice balance between the chemistry of the water and water quality that's going to allow you to have good, healthy equipment over time, too. And so there's a balance there. You know, some other equipment, we can basically strip everything out of the water and your equipment will be nice and healthy. Coffee, you know, we want to leave a little bit of those scalene minerals in to give you good coffee extraction. Because if we take out minerals, things like calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, if we take them all out, then there's no minerals there to actually impact the chemistry of the extraction process. So we need minerals to pull the oils, the colors, and the aromas out of that coffee ground. And so if you don't have a lot of minerals, you get very weak coffee. Now, if you have too much hardness, you know, too much calcium and magnesium specifically, then you actually get a bitter, over-extracted coffee that can be very oily. There's a lot of other things, too, in coffee. You know, if we don't remove the disinfectant, like the chlorine. So, you know, we know chlorine affects ice. That's kind of you know, self-explanatory. Same with potentially in beverage. We're a little familiar with that pool taste and smell. But in coffee, it actually will impact the more like organic flavor profiles that can come from the equipment. You know, maybe you have a little algae growing in your equipment or a little mold, or even any other organics that might be in the water. So algae, mold, fishy smells and tastes. When you don't remove chlorine and you have those other things present, you can actually give your coffee a very earthy, moldy taste, and it's going to kind of amplify that. So just things people don't really think about when it comes to coffee extraction. But that one's the most kind of complicated chemistry experiment we get into in this world.
Well, and that, it's really interesting because it makes you, as I think of, you know, an operator or a consumer, you have to think what type of filtration option do I have to pick based on whatever my piece of equipment is or whatever my selection is. So I do want to get into filter type and maybe talk a little bit about what works best with what unit.
A couple things come into play, right? So the type of equipment you're working on, and we split up the different types of food service equipment and we call it applications. So we have a lot of solutions that are split up by application. So coffee is going to use water differently than ice. That's going to use water differently than fountain. So depending on your application, that's going to be like a bucket of filter choices and treatment options that you have already. And then from there, we really like to dive into the water chemistry as much as possible. Water varies greatly throughout the world. And it can vary greatly within miles, so between towns, right? So we definitely like to do water testing if we have the time. If not, we have a nice database full of all the water tests we've done over so many years now, about 8 to 10 years. So we like to get at least a little bit of a nugget of information for the water quality. And then we put those two things together, right? So we've got a piece of equipment or a type of product we're making, and there's a kind of a spec that the manufacturers have, or You know, the Specialty Coffee Association has a water specification they want us to be in. So we compare that to the water quality, and that's where we make our choice. So ultimately, to simplify it, if you're within the water specification that we're dealing with for that piece of equipment or that type of product, then we can use what we call base filtration options. And base filtrations are going to be some version of carbon filtration with sediment removal. So where we remove dirt, and then carbon is the primary way we remove things like chlorine and other what we call organics, which are like the earthy, moldy tastes, the dead fishy tastes and smells, colors, things like that. So that's the basic world. And you can have, you know, a single filter up to like a, you know, maybe two or three or four filters on a system. And when we get into a bigger system, what we're doing is we're trying to meet the flow rate and the demand of the equipment set, right? So if you have one ice machine, likely you're going to have one filter. If we have a bank of ice machines where, you know, the maximum flow rate is going to be 10, 15 gallons a minute, then that's when we're going to get into these bigger systems. They could potentially still be base filtration carbon systems, but, you know, we just need to meet the flow rates and the demands there. So that's one side of the coin. And now the other side is going to be more specialty solutions. Specialty solutions are going to be used when your water quality is out of that specification range. Because what we need to do is we need to provide a solution to bring your contaminants or your minerals or whatever it might be down into the range of that specification. And we do that with a variety of tools. We have specialty resin technologies. You know, water softening is very common that people are familiar with. That's what we call an ion exchange process, where we take out calcium and magnesium and replace it with sodium. It's a great product. We just don't really use it a lot in food service, other than maybe in warewashing, or you see it sometimes in pre-treatment for things like reverse osmosis. We have other ion exchange technologies. There's a system that we have called the Claris system that some people might be familiar with out there. Great for coffee applications, where we're taking out a little bit of the bad tasting stuff and leaving the good tasting stuff for great coffee extraction.
And one of the options I know that Everpure has, and one that's really been hyped up on the market lately, is reverse osmosis filters. And I didn't pay attention a lot in science class, but I do remember learning about osmosis. So got that going for me. But what exactly are reverse osmosis filters? What do those do?
So this is definitely a hot topic these days. RO is super common now for definitely for steam and combi oven equipment, which we can get into, and also for coffee. So what reverse osmosis does, right? And actually, side note. Let me talk about carbon filtration real quick. So carbon filtration, as I mentioned, removes things like dirt, so particulate contaminants, and then things like chlorine, you know, and then those organic, earthy, moldy tastes and colors and smells, okay? But minerals, so the things like your calcium and magnesium, sodium, potassium, these other things called chlorides, nitrates, sulfates, those are all dissolved minerals. So ultimately, you know, they were rock at one time. The rainwater or the, you know, lakes, rivers, and streams touched this rock. It dissolved it and it carried it on its journey to you. Okay. So those are dissolved minerals. They're so tiny and so microscopic that when you run them through a basic carbon filter, they're going to go right through. So a regular carbon filter is not going to capture these things. Now, when we have scaling issues, there are some very cost-effective ways to manage scale. We can put a couple little extra media things in the carbon filters called polyphosphate, which actually starts to attract calcium. And as that polyphosphate attracts calcium, it can't stick together with other minerals and form rock. That's basically how it works. Again, very cost-effective way to do that. Now, when we get into, you know, special minerals that cause very difficult scales to remove, so something like silica, for instance, which is can form a glassy type scale, that we don't have cost-effective ways to remove or to deal with. polyphosphate will not work for the silica side of things. Silica can cause etching in equipment and chipping on augers and ice machines, etching of glass doors and steamers. So that's something we definitely want to take out. But the big one on the corrosion side of things are going to be the what we call chlorides. And chlorides are dissolved salts. So it's like sodium chloride, potassium chloride. The chloride half of that molecule is what really causes corrosion, especially when heated. So when we heat water in coffee brewers, steam applications, we're speeding up that chloride's ability to eat away at our metal. So the hotter we heat that water, that the faster that's going to happen. Unfortunately, chlorides cannot really be removed with any cost-effective technology, with the exception of reverse osmosis. So what reverse osmosis does is it's a very, very microscopic kind of mechanical separation, where when we have these little microscopic pores in a RO membrane, those pores are small enough to keep the minerals from passing through them. So the calcium, the magnesium, the chlorides, the nitrates, those will stay out, right? So it's a physical separation of dissolved minerals is what it is. And your average reverse osmosis equipment is going to remove between 90 to 98% of incoming mineral. So whatever that incoming mineral is, it's going to knock it down by at least 90%, depending on whose equipment you're using and other factors like temperature and stuff like that. So I hope I didn't lose you there.
No. I mean, one of the things you said there, and I think it's interesting though, like the breakdown of how that works. You said it's used a lot in combi and steam based equipment. Is there other areas where reverse osmosis can come in handy? Different types of equipment where you might use it?
Definitely. So coffee and espresso, very much so. You know, again, that's hot equipment. So the hotter we heat it, the more sensitive we're going to be to the corrosion side of the issues, right? Because again, ultimately, we can really remove scale if it's there. But that silica, chloride, that's stuff that's really going to require reverse osmosis. In coffee extraction as well, when it comes to flavor profile, there's certain minerals and certain contaminants that are going to just make a really poor drink and as far as coffee goes. So we can manipulate the minerals that way for a flavor profile. Some other times you might get into it is very specialty ice, you know, maybe those large cubes for fancy bars and restaurants. You know, if you're going to have a nice, whiskey on the rocks, you know, you don't want a cloudy chlorine tasting ice cube. You want a nice clear cube. So that's a situation depending on the water quality where we might bring in reverse osmosis. Also maybe in certain situations where we have health issues in the water, reverse osmosis can take a lot of that kind of stuff out. Even lead removal, it can do that. So unique situations there, but mostly steam, combis, and then coffee.
I guess for some other pieces of equipment, like, you know, maybe some of your beverage dispensers or other ice equipment, you mentioned carbon filters. Are there other types of filters that you might recommend for different types of equipment?
Yeah. So again, those ion exchange cartridges, we do have specialty filtration for iron removal. You know, if you've got a lot of iron in your water, you can get potentially that hydrogen sulfide gas smell, which is associated with rotten eggs. You know, people think, oh, I have well water, I have sulfur in my water. What it actually is the sulfur smell that you get from bacteria present that feeds off of iron in the water. So that creates hydrogen sulfide gas. So you have that taste profile associated with that or that odor. So we can remove that by removing the iron, actually, in well water supplies. In municipal water supplies that might not have the hydrogen sulfide gas, you can still have high iron content. So iron can cause staining. Again, lots of taste profile issues in fountain beverage or ice. and also contribute to slime in ice machines. Because if that iron gets into the ice machine, the air around the ice machine has bacteria or yeasts in it. So the iron actually acts as a food for that yeast and that bacteria, and can create a very slimy environment in your ice machine. And that would be a situation where you might have somebody coming out monthly to clean your machine. We could look for iron there. So, again, a lot of specialty stuff that's going to be maybe like a tool in the toolbox that we would use. Trying to think of some others. We have deionization cartridges, softening cartridges. We have specialty cartridges for like your booster heater on your dish machine to prevent scale buildup in that, or maybe even on a hot water fill on a dish machine. So we have things we can help you with there. But you name it, if it involves water in water treatment, if it involves water in food service, we have something for you. We actually even have ozone products now. So we have ozone for ice machines to help reduce that slime. It oxidizes any little contaminants and any of that bacteria in the air that might create slime. We have ozone products for disinfecting fruits and vegetables, and actually even disinfecting and killing odors in HVAC systems. So if you've got a gym or a nursing facility and you have maybe a lot of smoke or sweaty smells, things like that, we actually have a unit that you can kill those smells through the HVAC system. So pretty neat stuff we have.
I might need that in my own home just because, you know. But is there any, you know, other places where you wouldn't think about adding a filter? I mean, you went through a pretty large list of types of equipment or areas. Is there like one that most people don't think of in a commercial kitchen where they might need to add some type of filtration solution?
Yeah. I mean, really in a commercial kitchen, I think it's the cooking equipment that people, I mean, it's a little bit more well known now for people to use it for steam or combi ovens, but you know, in grocery stores, they've got proofers for bread. Sometimes, these little cheese melters that they make quesadillas with, you know, or in a fast food restaurant or in a, convenience store, that might be a situation where there's a little bit of water in there. You could be susceptible to corrosion in that situation. And then again, going back to the manufacturer's specifications, they may not cover that under warranty if that equipment falls apart from the water. So cooking equipment is definitely one of those things that people don't think about until it's too late sometimes. But we're very familiar with using it in consumable products, you know, fountain beverage, ice, drinking water, things like that. But again, it is common for restaurants to kind of forget their drinking water. If they're serving drinking water off of just a regular faucet, they'll forget that. Or even the water that they used in their steam kettles. So for making soup, things like that. That's situations where, you know, if you don't remove the disinfectant in the water, which would be like the chlorine, or its sister disinfectant that's hot out there these days called chloramine, that's going to impact your flavor profile of your soups and your sauces. So important there.
Before we wrap up here, tell us where people can learn about, you know, more about Everpure, Pentair, and, if you got any sites or pages they can visit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can start with pentair.com. It's PENTAIR.com. You can kind of poke around there, see all the other types of businesses we cover in Pentair, but you can get to the commercial and food service side of things there as well. If you want any product-specific or application-specific spec sheets, images, pricing, we have a lot on AutoQuotes. I know a lot of people listening are probably familiar with AutoQuotes. And then you obviously can reach out to Partsdown. You can get in contact with myself. Unfortunately, my name is a little too long to spell out my email for you right now, and people might miss it. But you can reach out to you guys, and they're, you know, they can get a hold of me, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Even if you have questions about bottled water tasting different. I can tell you why. Anything you want to know is water related.
Okay. Can you give us a quick, like 30-second teaser as to why bottled water tastes different in some cases?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's bottled water that, goes through reverse osmosis actually. So when it goes through reverse osmosis, they strip out 90 to 98% of incoming mineral. And depending on what that water source is going to be, that mineral content going in to the RO might vary, right? So some bottled water has very low mineral content. There's other companies that distill water. So they distill it, they strip out all the minerals, and then they add specific recipes back in. And so they have specific minerals they add for flavor profile.
See, look at that. You even got a little tidbit on bottled water before this episode ended. See, that's what we do here on the Parts Cast. We give you these little tidbits. Courtney, thank you for coming on, sharing your expertise. I hope to have you on sometime soon to talk more about water quality and filtration.
Sure. Yeah, anytime. We're here for you.
Thank you for listening to the Parts Cast. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you stream your podcasts.